So bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins. In particular, I confess my sins of omission and of commission. As we gather here this evening, we recognize that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. Wherefore, I strip myself, Father, of every confidence that my heart had in my own knowledge or ability to share your word on past experience in your word. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, Lord, to be faithful, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus, and help Holy Spirit to use the knowledge, to use the wisdom, to use everything you have given me, Lord, and my preparation, which is very inadequate. Lord, I'm asking that you multiply your word unto us today, and that word will come forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, causing our wills to become more humble, causing our minds more enlightened with the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I also ask for mercy and grace as I talk under covering, as we go into your word, that the covering of our spiritual parents, Lord, will avail much. As we go into your word today, that Lord, all of us, including them, will be blessed, will be edified, Lord God Almighty, and that Lord will experience, Lord, a tangible manifestation of your presence in our midst today. We bless you, Father. Help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God once again for this opportunity God has given me to share your word. Well, thank God. The title of my message this evening is God's goodness and severity. Let's say together, God's goodness and severity. You see, when we hear God's goodness and severity, you know, most times, is it going to be something about severity? God is going to judge everybody, is going to judge and going to do things. No. You see, when I was preparing, God began to show me aspects of when we talk about this severity and his goodness. As we go into the world, we'll see that actually, you know, when God shows the severity, part of his goodness. I will give an illustration God gave me, you know, while I was preparing. So we don't need to be afraid when we hear messages like this. That pastor has been sharing about God's goodness. Pastor Boyga also shared beautifully last Wednesday about the same message, talking about the fig tree. And also Pastor Kunle wonderfully shared about God's goodness bringing us unto salvation. So we'll be talking along the same lines today. The Bible says that God gave the word. Pastor has given the word, and great is the company of them that word published it. So we are sharing along those same lines today. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Let's read verse 22 first. Romans 11:22. Please put it on the board. Praise the Lord. What does this? Let's read together. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if what? Thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. You see, it's dangerous. Pastor says it all the time. But now when I was studying and preparing, I now saw the importance of what Pastor used to say. We should never read the scriptures in isolation. If you read the scripture and say, behold the goodness and the severity of God upon those that fell, God's severity. And then if you don't continue his goodness, he will cut you off. And then you run away with that. Everybody goes home afraid. Hey, God is going to cut me off. Would that not be a portion in Jesus' name? But let us read from verse 21. Then read up to verse 23. So we can understand that God is good. Stand with between God's severity and God's goodness is a severity. Let's read together. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Hold on. You see, here giving us a background of what was happening. Paul was talking about the Israelites, of which is a type of a church. You know, so he was talking about Israelites, how when Messiah came, they didn't believe in God, they didn't believe in the Messiah, they killed him. But next verse, and I'll say verse, and she said, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity. That means talking about Israelites that fell. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Don't stop there. Next verse. And they also, talking about those that were cut off. Are you following me? If they what? Abide not still in what? Unbelief shall be what? Graft in. For God is able to graft them in again. Praise the Lord. Is that severity? God is telling them that, look, come. This is why I did what I did to Israel. Now, if you guys stood are brought inside, what I did to them, I will do to you. But it didn't end there. You see, when the Bible was written, they put chapters and verses for so we can refer to it. And now goes on to say that, look, if these guys that I cut off do not abide in unbelief, I'm able to put them back. So you see, when I was thinking about this thing, I thought about this, that, let me use a simple illustration, although I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, capsules. You know, capsules, when you have a capsule, there are some capsules that are sugar-coated, right or wrong. So when you have a little boy or your child, and you give him that capsule, you tell him, ah, go better now. Why? Because it's bitter. That's how the goodness of God is. Is encapsulated in God's severity, is encapsulated in his goodness. But because that child is still a child, and put it in his mouth, he will think you are joking. That one day, he will bite the thing. And when the thing now becomes bitter, and he said, oh, don't worry. Then give him water, then he will swallow it. That's what the sin nature does to us. This character of God is God. You can't separate him from his severity. But that goodness, like that capsule, is not that sugar-coated capsule. You see, but if you swallow it quickly, the Bible says that word of God is what? Medicine. If you swallow it quickly, you can escape that severity. You see, it's not different way to treat Lord Jesus Christ. But he never experienced that severity because he did not abide in unbelief. He kept on obeying. So every time they gave him a pill or a word that is met, he will obey. So just swallow it. Boom. So you will not see any severity until it was on the cross, when he allowed himself to become sin. Praise the Lord. So that's why I want to see this message from that point of view. Praise the Lord. So what is God's goodness? I wrote the definition down. God's goodness is God's character that enables him to show us loving kindness. In particular, mercy, long-suffering, and forbearance. In spite of our human infirmities due to the sin nature, with the goal of enabling us to fulfill our destiny. I'll take it again. I'll say it again. What is God's goodness? It is God's character that enables us to do what? To show us loving kindness. In particular, mercy, long-suffering, and forbearance. In spite of our human infirmities due to the sin nature, with the goal of enabling us to fulfill our destiny. You see, that child, so to speak, that you put the capsule in his mouth, after you told him that this is what will happen if you bite that capsule, why does he still bite that capsule? Spiritually speaking, because his sin nature is disobedience. Are you following me? So that's why that child will not believe what you say. So God's goodness is not to punish us, it's to bring us to an expected end. You see, it's not just showing us goodness. Just showing you goodness, like Yoruba say, come out, just point water inside the lagoon. No, he's showing you goodness for a purpose. And that purpose is this, is to bring you to your expected end, which is what? Your destiny. Each one of us will have things written concerning us in this book. Then also, God wants us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, with long life will I satisfy him and showing what? My salvation. Now let us look at this. It is God's character, like I said. We don't have to turn there. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, it mentions goodness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It is God's character. Both God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are good. We sing it all the time. We say God is good and his mercy endureth forever. That means, you see, goodness is a bit different from mercy. Or else we will not say God is good and what? His mercy endureth forever. Now, let's open our Bibles for Psalm 145. Verse 9. Just to put some scriptures behind before we move on. Praise the Lord. So always remember that goodness has severity in it. The Lord is what? Good to all. Let's see together. The Lord is good to all. Say including me. And his tender mercies are over all his works. It's good to everybody. Every human being. Adolf Hitler, anybody that has come upon the face of this earth today, God is good to all, without exception. And the Bible says, his mercy endures forever. We don't have to turn there. Let's say that's God the Father. Then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. So we know God is good. Say God is good. Lord Jesus Christ is good.
The Holy Spirit too is good. Let's open my Bible soon for Psalm 143 verse 10. Psalm 143 verse 10. Everybody say, God is good. And his mercies endure forever. What does it say? Teach me to do what? Thy will. That means you cannot do God's will except God teaches you. For thou art my God. Let's together. Thy spirit is what? Good. Let's say, thy spirit is what? Good. And what? Lead me into the land of uprightness. You see, why did I take time to read it? So you not think that, okay, God Father is there. Then Jesus Christ is good. It's better. The Holy Spirit, they are all good. Right now, we need to reverence the person of the Holy Spirit. Because right now, he's the custodian of God's goodness upon the earth. He's the one that manifests God's goodness to us. Now, I said, what is the difference between God's goodness and mercy? Slight difference. You see, God's mercy is what gives us eternal life. I was looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life, like we've been taught by pastor over and over. It is God's compassionate disposition that enables him to give us life from the outside. You see, but that life, you can't see it. If you do something that God gives you life, you can't see the life. It's spiritual. So that life is now converted to goodness. Are you following me? So you see, when God gives you life, are you following me? That life now manifests in his goodness. Maybe you don't deserve something. God now gives it to you. Are you following me? He now gives you a gift and blesses you. That's why the Bible says of Matthew. It says that God gives his rain upon the good and the wicked. So you see, it is mercy in operation. But that life now turns to rain. Whichever evil you want to see, either spiritual rain or natural rain that will enable natural crops to grow. So that's the thing. So when you say, ah, God showed me mercy, God is good. Is that good? That mercy now translates to something tangible. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that what? The Lord is good. Are you following me? So that is how mercy and God's goodness operate in our lives. So it is, and like I said, this mercy is directed into two areas of our lives. You see, it has a purpose. God doesn't just do anything for doing sake. And the two areas is number one, let us say it together, repentance and our ultimate salvation. Number one, towards our repentance. And the repentance is not a word that we should be afraid of. When you hear repentance, you know, repent, all your mind will go to John the Baptist. Repent! For the kingdom of God, repent! No. The starting point in everything God does in our life, it starts with repentance. That's where you start from. So it's a good beginning. Are you following me? So let's put scriptures behind this word repentance. The first area, Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Pastor Cooley and Pastor Brigger have preached from this part. Pastor too has preached a lot. So I'm just trying to say one or two things. Let's look at it. He said, or despised thou the riches of his goodness. God is rich in goodness. And what? Forbearance and long suffering. Trying to open up to us what goodness means. Not knowing that what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That means that forbearing, that long suffering is part of God's goodness, and it has one aim, it will lead you to repentance. And that goodness has been over every one of us here before we were born in our mother's womb. The day that God decided that they are going to come into this earth, he started showing that goodness. Even though we are not even formed, even though our parents were not even married. Like Papa Kali said, somewhere in eternity, God decided that Abraham, Adi, Obe will be here today. Maybe my parents were not even born before then. Yes, my great-grandfather. But the moment he decided that at a certain time, this man, the guy is coming, that was the beginning of his goodness. Are you following me? So that goodness is supposed to lead us to repentance. Let's open our Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let's put some scriptures behind this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let us rest together. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men what count slackness, but is what long suffering to us, what not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you can understand why things are happening in our circumstances, in the nation, in the Bible. But God, are you sleeping? Ah, you see a wicked man living till 80. Why is God allowing him to live? And throughout that period of time, he's doing evil things. Why? Let me tell you one of the reasons that just comes to me. Because if you die in that state, he's going to hell. No begging can bring him back. So God rather allow you and I to endure long suffering as his children. But say, be ye perfect. Man, so Heavenly Father is perfect. Why? So at the end of the day, that guy will not die and go to hell. It's not willing that any should perish, but as you come to repentance. So Yoruba say, Oloni amumora. So expect, that's why you see things happening. You might have a boss at work, whatever you are going through, it could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be whatever. God will expect you to be forbearing, to be long suffering. Why? Because in that state they are in, if anything should happen, that's the end. The rich man, like I normally say, has been in hell since. He's there right now. He's going to be there tomorrow, forever and ever. If peradventure somebody should have showed him kindness, whoever didn't show him kindness at that, I didn't say that's what happened. I'm not saying, but the person, if he goes to meet God and say, God, please, I'm sorry, I should have forgiven him. It's too late. You understand what I'm trying to say? So you see, it's still going to be. So that's why God is long. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Also, the other aspect of God's goodness, I said, it's supposed to bring us to salvation. You can see from that scripture. Let's open to the Bible of the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. That's his ultimate desire, to bring us to salvation. I want to talk about salvation. We are not talking about just being born again. We are talking about the fullness of God's salvation. Let's read that. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said, do an account. See that? Don't just think about when you got born again. Some of us have heard stories. You hear some parents come after, they say, hey, this child, I didn't want to have him. I didn't want to have him. In fact, when I got pregnant the fourth time, if I did, some people will go and take pills to try and abort the child, but God will overrule that. And then here you are. And then your parent will tell you that this is what happened, though. Do you know? Or when you are about to born, this one so happened. I fell down, I had an accident, and all those things. Do you think it's just for just telling you, say, no, God wants you to see his goodness so you can sit down. It's true. See, in spite of all these difficulties that my parents went through, you still allowed me. I'm here, healed and hearty. You see, that's God's goodness for us. Why did he do all that? It's to bring us to salvation. First is to get born again, and ultimately to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that, I pray that the Lord will make sanctify you, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you blameless until the day of Christ. I follow him. So that is why God does what he does. You see, because like I said the other day, if you get to heaven, we are going to get to heaven. God is not, I used the word I was speaking last time, I said God is not happy. Happy is not a good word to use. He's pleased, very well pleased. Look at Jesus Christ, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Look at the other extreme example. Children in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you have to turn there. He said, with many of them, God was not well pleased. That means they came to heaven, but was not well pleased. So, for you to be well pleasing to God when you get to heaven is when you have finished everything he wants you to do. You feel your... Let me give a natural example. We'll have children. You send your children to school. You walk day and night. You walk over work. Why are you doing it? It's not because... It's because of the children. No? They will come to... this is the new kind of shoe they are wearing now. You buy for them. Why? So I can make a good degree. God forbid. Can you imagine that child now comes back? And said, daddy, they chucked me. Chucked me means they sent me away. He failed and they sent him away. And he comes home. You're going to take him home. You're not going to send him away. But you're not going to be very happy. You're still going to look for something. Maybe at that time he can't go to school again. Maybe just look for something. Okay, just go to this office. Actually, I planned for you to be in charge of this, my big business. But okay, be under tutors and governors. Then they'll give him a salary. Let him just be doing work of a secretary. So you see, God is not well pleased when those things happen. I follow him, even though he has to accept Christians, when they die and they don't make their destiny. So that is, but the ultimate purpose of God for showing us his goodness is so that we can inherit this spirit without measure, that I can become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I can, when we appear before him, or even before we appear before him, he can say, like he said unto Jesus Christ, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Not like now when the children in the wilderness, I said, this with many of them, God was not well pleased. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? That is God's goodness. Now, what is God's severity? That severity is encapsulated in God's goodness. You can't separate it. God's severity, it is the aspect of God's character to execute righteous judgment in love. You see, I'm trying to make it so simple so we don't begin to think severity. I'll break that word down to you now. Severity just means to separate. Siva, thank you, sir. You see, it is the aspect of God's character to execute righteous judgment in love. Pastor defined love many years ago, over 20 years ago. He said, love is like a hand in a velvet glove. Iron hand in a velvet glove. So when you see the velvet glove, you say, this is nice. Then it will hold you like this. You are walking. They start doing something wrong, it will just grip you. I didn't know that there was an iron hand in that velvet. That's it. Then let you behave yourself, it will. That velvet aspect of his character. You see, because you can always enjoy that velvet aspect of his character without that iron hand. If you continue into what? Goodness. Praise the Lord. So, why? You see, that severity, I want us to pick something there before we go on. I said, that was severity means to separate. This way it came to me. I'll give a very simple example. We're all sitting here. I don't mean to be very rude. Brother Tunde is sitting here. The service is going on. All of a sudden, he farts. You know what that means? Also, and everyone begins to smell. And sorry, you will not do it. You know, if the ushers come, what are they going to do? And say, in a nice way, bros, Ejo, please, can you sit there for some time? So we'll not distract everybody. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, to you, if he doesn't understand, to him, that's farting, it will not smell. You know, when you fart, it doesn't smell to you. It's not that bad anyway. But to everybody, it is terrible. So it moves him here. So when the smell has gone, and so yeah, come back. It grabs him in again. Do you get what we're trying to say? Very simple illustration. But if he sits here and maybe he ate beans and boiled egg overnight, and he keeps on doing the same thing, the ushers will just say, "Esha fish, let's bear." Do you get what I'm trying to say? But the moment he stops and they notice he has stopped, what will they do? They will bring him again and graft him back, restore him to his position. Praise the Lord. So that's what severity means. From Romans that we read earlier on, he said that if they don't abide in unbelief, God is able to graft them back again. So that shows that the ultimate character of God was not able to remove them in the first place. So when we experience any form of severity, so called, it's God's goodness and operation. But always remember that if I repent, God will take me back. Pastor gave the example of Manasseh. There are too many examples in the Bible. Miriam, I was looking through scripture. There are too many, but I'm just concentrating on what I'm saying as we continue. So that's how God's severity operates. Psalm 19, verse 9. Let's just put a scripture behind it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? Psalm 19, verse 9. What does it say? Let's say, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and what? Righteous altogether. That judgment, my dear brother, it's not, let me put it this way, it's not like a paradox. It's not going to be possible not to experience severity because of the sin nature, like we defined earlier on. That thing will rise up. But you see, you can come to a place in school in those days when they do up, step, and jump. You just go like this, up, you just keep the severity, step, and then you jump. You go and get your mother. You fulfill your destiny. I follow him. So you can always skip it if you are obeying God, obeying the instructions given unto you. Do you know why those instructions are given unto you ahead of time? So I can escape that severity. I follow me? So that's how we can escape. But see, we cannot always. We always express it in a measure. Which when we begin to round up, you see how we can escape the severity of God's judgment. Pastor Mugia shared about the fig tree I was in the vineyard. I follow me? Praise the Lord. So that's what, simply defined, that's what it means. Let's look at the scripture that talks about this God's character. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's read together. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Glory, that means just don't boast. Next verse. Let's read together. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which does what? Exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So you can see that judgment is sandwiched between God's loving kindness and righteousness. It gives you, shows you loving kindness, long suffering, everything. Then when he doesn't get a measure of what he expects, that fruit, then judgment comes in. Then when that judgment comes in and you quickly repent, you start experiencing righteousness, which now takes you back again to what? To his loving kindness. I follow him in. That's why I said, if you continue in his goodness, praise the Lord. So that's what he's supposed to do for us. Now, why is this message very important at this time? Pastor has spoken about it so beautifully. Pastor God shared so much about it on that day, about that fig tree that was planted outside on the way. I was planning my personally shared about it, that this is the end. Why is God bringing it to us? Not that we have enjoyed his goodness. If the fact that we are here today is tells us that it's God's goodness, I follow him, testifies of his goodness in our lives. Why? No, I mentioned in the passing, but I just put the scripture behind it. Some scripture says, it's not willing that any should perish or suffer loss. It's so simple. If you had a natural parent, which parent would pray that his child would die? Or would go to school and they would send him away? Which parent here would not desire that his child would come up with the first class? I see parents all the time boast about their children. He's working with Shell now. He made a first class. Why? God who wants to brag about you and I. I just want to show the people don't say, mommy, try. Multi-particles to wood. I used to spend so much money on this child to make sure say, we thank God. The same thing with God. He wants to boast about you and I. You know, Satan will try all kinds of things. Then he says, you don't know anything. I will consider my servant Job. Do you understand me? That's why when David fell, they said some people, you have made the enemies of God to blaspheme. After God sent you to the school of Saul, after all you went through, you see, bang this simple examination. He banged it too. But yet, God's goodness still saved him. I follow him. So God wants to brag about us. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. He doesn't want anybody to suffer loss. First, I've explained it, but let's put the scripture behind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. God doesn't want anybody to suffer loss. Who wants to get to heaven? Then God will show you. These are the things that are written concerning you in this book. Then say, maybe you are supposed to have been an end time kingdom financier, but because you did not wait where I put you. Now that's what that person did. Can you imagine? Who wants to? Then it's bad. The Bible says, wipe away tears from the faces of many people in heaven. Are we there? What does it say? It says, if any man's work, let's look at it. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall do what? Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yet, so as by goodness, but it's not the best, it's not be a lot in Jesus' name. We're going to take advantage of that goodness and we're going to inherit the promise. Praise the Lord. The other scripture I want us to point to is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. We say, God is good to all. We quote it when I want to pray for our nation, Nigeria. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 to 7. I'll read it and I'll explain the way it came to me. God is good to all. He wants everybody to be perfect, including Abacha. That's God's design. No? What does he say? I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody. Cast your mind back on the worst human being you know. Are you following me? Next verse. For what? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a what? Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But it doesn't stop there. Next verse. For what? This is good. That means when you pray for a nation, Nigeria, you are doing something good. And what acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Next verse. For what? Who, let's read together, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's design. All men. Without exception. All men. You see, at times God brings us in different relationships. If you are not careful, you will not know why. Look at the situation of our nation. Look at our president and our vice president. I believe part of his assignment is to minister Christ to that man, our president. Don't you know what this guy told them? Esther said, you are come into the kingdom for such a time as this. He may be his last hope. Everybody in church is sitting about this, like, you know, Jesus Christ, when he came, he said, when I go to turn over the kingdom to Israel, everybody's praying wrong prayer. Maybe not all, of reasons I just put him there. I want to save this man. I need you there. And the God was promised there. It would have been foolish for Esther, even after I did all he did, after I interceded and they got all those blessings, that same power I used to turn the system around for them, he could have used to pray for Israel's salvation. Because the Bible says, I'm picking my revelation, just coming to me, you and your household shall be saved. The Bible says that if the husband is not believing and the wife is believing, the husband wife shall be sanctified. So was it only to set Israel free to go back to Egypt, or they didn't go back, to deliver them from Haman? Part of that responsibility for Haman, for Esther, was to minister and talk to that king about the God of Israel. Because it will have what? All men to be saved. Not only that, let us have been born again. And to come to knowledge of the truth. What we are preaching to the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Next verse. I think we have to get to 7. Who gave himself a ransom for all? What is that word all? To be testified in due time. Next verse. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, and speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, the teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So ask yourself this question. Who are those that God has put in your circumstances, like Pastor has taught of your sphere of influence? Are you going to work so you can only collect salary when you are working for an unbeliever? Is that all you think about? That this man is working for Dangote, and God brings you supernaturally next to him? And all you can think about is, sir, we need to increment in salary. And not for one day, you don't, either by preaching or by your character or lifetime, minister Christ to him. My Bible says that he wants kings. It's not only those in leadership to be saved. So you arrange your circumstances like he did for Esther. And then bring you to somewhere that, as a timeline, so you can not only you do the natural thing you're supposed to do under that person, but see, to be able to, at the end of the day, like that, I just come to my revelation, that girl that spoke to Naaman. Yeah. Said, woe to God that my God will go to Kini. At the end of the day, in that context, that man got salvation. He said, look, he told Elisha, that I will carry this sand, I will go back. All because of that young girl. If you had kept quiet, but who am I? Let me just pay my salary. Or crying all day long. I'm a slave here. Who am I going to deliver me? I have to go back to my father's house. They're just punishing me. And all he can think about is that she's a slave in a foreign land. And now look at the why other things that God can use to turn that situation around. Whatever Naaman accrues to Naaman by believing in God of Israel, part of it will accrue to that girl. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're trying to say. Now that is one. I said God is not willing that any should perish, and that word all should come to repentance, and I also doesn't want anybody to lose his reward, suffer loss. Praise the Lord. The next point I want us to put down is that why do we experience God's goodness? Because we have come into the time of harvest. Mind you, we are talking about goodness and severity. When in that time of harvest, you see, in the time of harvest, one thing that is peculiar about the time of harvest is this, is the time of separation in the natural. If you harvest corn today, you're not going to eat the corn with the cob and everything. No, you're going to separate. Not because you don't like the cob or you don't like the whatever the husks, but it is just a necessity. You have to separate. So it's a natural consequence when we come to this time of harvest to experience God's goodness and severity. Or let me say, separation. That's the whole story about the wheat and the tares, the book of Matthew. Let's just turn there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. Before I go there, it's because in the time of harvest, if you don't separate the good from the bad will contaminate the good. There's a saying in the world that says, one bad apple will do what? Spoil the whole bunch. Paul said, look at 1 Corinthians 15. He said, a little level. He said, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you are a parent and you see your child walking with bad boys or bad girls, what are you going to do? I don't want to see that boy in my house again. But mommy, I said, I don't want you separate your child. So if we can do that, do you think God will just fold his arms after all that Jesus Christ did and then allow you to just go like that? See, evil communications corrupt good manners. So that's why God separates. Matthew 13 verse 30, praise the Lord. But what? While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I want verse 30 straight to the point. Verse 30. We're talking about this time of harvest. Let's what? Both grow together until the harvest. We're in that time now. And in the time of harvest, not before, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So why is God bringing this message of goodness and severity to us when it's time of harvest? And see, separation again, severity and separation. Are you following me? It's God's goodness. Are you following me? So, let's move to verse 47. Just to highlight a point. Verse 47, please. Praise the Lord. Says, and again, in the same context in which was talking about the end time harvest, says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? Unto a net. That means righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is like a net. That is the secret of evangelism. The kingdom that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Next verse. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but did what? Cast the bad away. Separation. He didn't say that they threw them inside back into the sea. He just said they cast them away. Now, take that word cast away. And let us look at what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. You see, that castaway, we often think that, okay, it's unbelievers. But let us look, what does he say? Let's read that. But keep under, Paul was talking about himself. I was trying to explain, in writing to the Corinthian church, about the problem he had with the sin nature in his flesh, which you all have. Are you following me? Which I said earlier on, that is what makes us experience God's severity. That stubborn nature. Say, but I keep under my body. And I do what? I bring it into subjection. Notice, I there is not talking about, he's talking about the renewed man on the inside. The spirit man. I bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach unto others, I myself should be a castaway. If it wasn't possible, Paul would not say it. So the responsibility is on us to keep that flesh under, into subjection. So I will not be a castaway. Praise the Lord. Will not be a castaway in Jesus' name. So that is the second aspect. I said we are already in God, the time of God's harvest. So of necessity, God's goodness will come into full bloom. And also his separation. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So the third point I want to make is that his goodness will bring many to salvation in this end time. Let's say together, God's goodness will bring many, including me and my household, into salvation in this end time. So we're not talking about getting born again, but it's all inclusive. Those that are under the sphere of influence, your family members, it's going to bring everybody. That is what it's going to do. It too. I was preparing, and God just added this prophetic aspect. Aspect to me. It was a story by Uzziah. In Uzziah chapter 1, verse 7, I just keep talking most of the time. Uzziah said, God told him, "Go and marry a prostitute." Ridiculous. How can God tell you to go and marry a prostitute? God was trying to use that situation to paint a scenario about the nation of Israel has gone into idolatry. So say, go and marry a prostitute. How can a prophet go and marry a prostitute? That on his own, to that prophet, is goodness. No, to that woman, is goodness. To the prophet, he looked at severity. But you see, God said, go and marry that prostitute. He wanted to use him as an illustration to the nation of Israel, which is a type of a church. Now, in Hosea chapter 2, verse 2 to 9, we'll read. Let's open to 2 to 9. Let us see why it is important. I said it's going to bring many to salvation, including you and I. Are we there? Let's read together. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover our nakedness. Because in this time of the harvest, I'm going to take away my wine, my corn, or possibly I preached about this some months ago, about the famine in the land. Because I'm going to take this thing. But I gave it to you, but you didn't understand why I gave it to you. You are spread it on idolatry. Next verse, please. Say, and now I will discover her lewdness in the sight of our lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. So you can see the state of the church today. They come and laughing. There are people are saying, where is their God? Is this not your so-called pastor? He has one wife there. It's like as if those things have been exposed. Those hidden things have been exposed. Next verse. Let's keep reading. And I will cause all our mirth to cease, our feast days, our new moons, and our Sabbaths, and all our solemn feasts. So can you imagine why it seems that there's a delay? Next verse. And I will destroy our vines and our fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards, all her branches, and my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Next verse. That's not the end of the story. And I will destroy our vines and our fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards. I think we read this for next verse, please. And what? And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burnt incense to them. Balaam there represents idolatry. Are you following? We've been taught very well, covetousness, which the church is presently engaging, you know, to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, said the Lord. Next verse, we are going to... What does verse 9 say? There's a part that it says that, I think it's in 1, I made a mistake, I find it on the board. He said that, I'm going to save Israel, not by weapons. Somewhere in Hosea chapter 1, please let me look for it on the board and put it before we go to Hosea chapter 5. God said, look, I'm going to save this church. He said, I'm going to save this church. Somewhere in chapter 1, I think 2 or so. I can't figure it out. I can't remember now. He said, I'm going to save them myself. Somewhere either in Isaiah 1 or chapter 2. Let me look for it. But you see, God said, look, I've given you corn, I've given you wine, I've given you oil. All things I've given to you are to perfect my character. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will do what? Save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle ball, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Next verse. And when she had weaned, he said he was going to save them, but not going to save them by horses, by gragra, so to speak. That's the end of the church. Now, if we go to Hosea chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, I'll rush through, and then because of time. Now let's see what God is saying to us, the church, in this present. Hear ye this, O priest, and hearken ye, house of Israel, and give ye here, O house of the king. For judgment is towards you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. Next verse. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. Next verse. I want to get to verse 5 as fast as possible. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me now. Ephraim, that comes just hold on, and Israel is just go straight to verse 5 so I can make my point. See, and the pride of... No. Go to verse 4. There's something I want us to see. Go to verse 4. See, Hosea chapter, there's a place... Go to verse 3. There's a place that it says that I know Ephraim, it says that he's going to take away their kings from them.
somewhere in that same Hosea chapter 5. He says he's going to remove their kings from them and their princes. Are we there? Help me, Lord Jesus. He says, I'm going to remove your kings from you. Go to the next verse. Next verse, verse 4. Verse 4, please. Next verse, verse 5. Help me, Lord Jesus. See, and the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Next verse. There another verse. There's a scripture in that same verse. I'll just mention it. God was telling them, I'm going to remove your kings and your princes. The Bible says in the book of Judges, said there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own sight. And put on the board, just on Hosea, because it's very important. It says that we will remove the kings and the princes. What are we trying to say? Well, in that time, that scripture is important. Let me find it, because it goes along what we are saying. It says, I'm going to remove your princes and your kings from your midst. And I said, I will do it in the latter time. That's what I want us to say in that scripture. If you find it, put it on the board, so don't waste time. I can't locate my scriptures now. So, what are we saying? You see, we're in the time of harvest, and God is going to do something in his church. And it's in this season there is no king in Israel. Now, we know that he's raising up his kings in Israel. Are you following me? Upon his own. So, when that time comes, it's that time that salvation is going to come to Israel. Praise the Lord. So, let's just move on. So that is what God wants to do. And then the last aspect of God's goodness that I want to talk about is this. God is showing us that goodness so that we ourselves can go forward and show people goodness. That's the whole lesson. So, you see, I cannot show the fullness of God's goodness until you come into perfection. And you receive a spirit without measure. That's why it says that how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing. What? So you see, so that's where we are going to. The reason why God has shown you so much kindness, so much goodness, so much mercy, so to speak, like we often say, so that you can come to that place that can be a dispenser of his goodness to the world, to our generation. It is that goodness that you show people that will lead them to repentance and bring salvation. Praise the Lord. So that's what God wants to do. And that's the plan. Now let's go to this issue of a parable of a fig tree that Pastor Wega spoke about. I'll just mention it and move on because of time. He said there was this fig tree in the vineyard. And he said that the vine dresser, the husbandman came, we know it's God the Father. He said, speak to the vine dresser and said, this fig tree, for 3 years I've been coming for fruit and no fruit on it. Let me cut it down. The dresser said, no, God, please don't. You see, what I want to say, that dresser is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the set man, or the pastor, or the person that God has put in charge of that vineyard. That was what Moses did. When God said, move away! Let me destroy them! So it wasn't Moses, though. It was the Holy Spirit through Moses. He said, no, God, don't do it, though. Don't do it. Don't do it. Either kill me. I follow him. That's what Paul said. He said, death worketh in us and life in you. He said, no, kill me before you kill them. That's what Moses did. So you see, the vine dresser works in unity with the oversight. Those that God has put over you. So when the husbandman comes, notice that when God spoke, he spoke to everything that Moses recorded. God spoke to him. He wasn't speaking to them in an audible voice, the other people. It was what God told him. And I go and tell you, God has said, look, for the next 40 years, you guys are going to wonder. Again, you see God's goodness again. Why would God allow them for 40 years? Well, for them to set their house in order, do as much as they can do. So if they suffer loss here, they can gain something in heaven. 40 good years. Long suffering. Not when their enemies should perish. So that even if they don't enter the physical real estate land, they can do so much. It didn't stop them from fasting. He didn't stop them from praying. He didn't stop them from submitting to Moses. Are you following me? But they refused. They took that goodness for granted. And they will keep on enjoying the manna and so forth and so on. So you see, that dresser, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. To the presence that God has set over you. So when God is not going to come to you, because the fig tree cannot talk. So go and go to the dresser. The dresser will not say, okay, don't worry. So the dresser, that's why you now find that if it's a good pastor, you now take extra time to pray for that flock. When God whispered to me, this guy is going to go very soon.
He can't tell him. So now begin to pray. Now begin to dig about it. When he begins to dig about it, what is he doing? He begins to, when you dig something, he begins to remove the thorns that are hindering that fig tree from bearing fruit. Instead of us dig about it for one more year, and then let me also dung it. And he dunks it by giving it more word and more life. I, for that, that process operates. He begins to dig. The Bible says that those, he said, could not bring forth fruit because of the cares of this world, distant of reason, and lust of those are the things that are hindering that fig tree from bringing forth fruit. So the vine dresser now begins to dig about it. He begins to pray and cover everybody. Because that guy will not do his praying properly. So he makes it easier for him to do. And we will dunk him again. We'll make those examples very simple. We are take this one. Even if you cannot do one at last with 15 minutes, everybody can do 15 minutes. I say, yes, everybody can do 15 minutes. Oh, you have 15 minutes. Then you go home. While he's digging again and he's dunking again. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. We need to thank God for our covering. That's what he does, oh. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying religiously. So that's what happens. And in that same vineyard, three things occur. There are three stages. Stage number one, Bible says that in the book of John, I've just mentioned it, John chapter 10, 15, it says, every branch in me that does not bring forth fruit, he taketh away. Go to heaven. He said, the second one, he that is bringing forth fruit, he prunes it in that same vineyard, that he may bring forth much fruit. The one that refuses, pata-pata, I'm not going to do this thing again. Leave me alone. This thing is of the devil. Well, they gathered them and they burned them. Praise the Lord. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, what are we saying? That's God's aspect of his severity. But he's supposed to bring us to repentance and to bring forth fruit. Now, we'll look at three examples before we close. I want us to look at the example of Saul to see how God can be kind and gracious and long-suffering. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Praise the Lord. Just a second. Acts 13, verse 21. What does he say? Talking about Saul. He says that, and afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 what? Years. Listen, that 40 years did not start. God's goodness did not start when he became king. That goodness had been with Saul before he was born. So God just highlighted it. For the space of 40 years, he kept on showing Paul goodness. Saul, goodness, day in, day out. But Saul kept on being rebellious, stubborn. Can you imagine 40 good years? You have somebody ruling over you. I want to go into what Saul did. He did the exact opposite of what God told him not to do. God said, go and kill the Amalekites. He didn't kill them. He now went and killed the priest of Nob, 80. I know a rule. And God did not talk. Think about it. God said, go and destroy Amalek, a type of the flesh. He kept swarm. And now went, when he was chasing David around the place, he killed, I think it's 80 priests of Nob. He killed them. If you read that part where he said, go and kill Amalek, he said, this guy, he seems as if he's better than God. But okay, don't kill the priest. And now when I kill those that I was supposed to kill, that's one. And God didn't talk 40 years. Out of the 40 years, we were chasing David up and down the whole place, planning to kill him. The Bible is a catalog of the things that he did. He said that this king that you are going to choose, is going to make his vine dressers, is going to do this, is going to do that. Can you imagine you send your child to school to go and study medicine, that they now change that course behind you without telling you to go and study? In those days, we used to laugh at people that studied guidance and counseling. But now it's a good course. So I say guidance and counseling, I'll be a diploma in music. We used to laugh in those days. So can you imagine you paid, go and study medicine. They now change the course of to go and do diploma in maybe playing football. That's the exact thing that Paul did. The mission is to get them conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm talking prophetically. But see, Paul, so it changes that thing. He said, don't worry, this is what God wants you to do. You, your own is to be baking bread. That is your job. That is kingdom. You, your own is to be doing this. That is kingdom. That's what Samuel said. And he did that for 40 years. Nobody could talk. But yet, God's goodness was over him. But at the end of the day, we know what happened. He went to the battle and he died. But even with that death also was God's goodness. I used to read it. I thought I saw the Lossy hellfire. That is hellfire, man. The guy is burning now. No. On the right one book about E.W. Kenyon, and it said I saw him go to hell. Pastor, I shared before that I actually went to Abraham to some. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Samuel. No, 1 Samuel verse 28, verse 19. In spite of those 40 years of Saul's reign, that was terrible. 40 years, oh. You have given birth to a child. That child will have finished university, will have gotten married, will have had children, probably have his own children at 40. So you can imagine the same person being there. Are we there? What does it say? Moreover, the Lord, this is Samuel speaking, will also deliver Israel within into the hand of Philistines. And tomorrow shall thou and thy sons beware with me. Now, did Samuel go to hell? At that time, everybody went to Abraham's home and said, you and all your children are going to be with me. Isn't this God's goodness? For 40 years of ruling with rigor over the people. Yeah, this guy made it. Stay with me. And Lot also divided the house of Israel, you know, into the hands of Jesus. So you can see God's goodness. At the end of the day, that goodness still kept Saul from going to hell. That's one about God's glory. Don't see, if you look at it when he died and they cut off his head, this is severe, judgment. No. Life is more than where we are. Now, he's not going to sit in the same place where Samuel was sitting in heaven. No? But at least he made it. If it was you and I, that would have been the end. I follow him. So that's God's goodness. That's why you see, unto is God's severity to those that fail. Severity. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 25. David was saying, how are the mighty falling? That when Saul died. He fell. Are you following me? But even though he fell, he made it. Because of God's goodness. Why? Not because God wanted him to experience the fullness of. That's why Samuel said, God will have established your kingdom today. This is not God's plan. But did not take advantage of that goodness. So he brought, let me use the word, separation. Are you following me? So that he will not ultimately kill David and destroy the entire Israel. Are you following me? But at the end of the day, if you draw back the curtain and you see, he made it to heaven. Praise the Lord. So that's very, very important. So that's what God's goodness does. Then the second example is Jacob. About God's goodness. I've just read two scriptures to explore what I'm saying. Then we'll try and round up with another example. Paul. Genesis chapter 28 verse 15. We know Jacob, put in the Amplified. Jacob was a trickster. That is where many of us are. When I say trickster, not that we are 419, but because of his sin nature. That sin nature, you see, it is that sin nature that makes us or helps us not to take advantage of God's goodness. So Jacob here said something. He said, and behold, God was telling him when he slept on those stones and he had a dream. He said, and behold, I am with you. And I will do what? Keep watch over you with care, Jacob. You mean there's a 419 today? That's an embezzling money. And God is saying, don't worry, I will keep you. I will watch over you. We need to begin to think about how God thinks about people. Sheep not of his fold. If you have seen Jacob, you heard the story of what he did. How he stole. If assuming Esau was your friend. And Esau comes like, this guy has stolen my birthright. You are going to join forces with Esau to try and Esau and try and kill Jacob. But this is a bad boy. But God didn't see it that way. I want to go and steal your brother's birthright too. I follow him. He says, I watch how you care. Take notice of you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you on what? Until I have done all of which I have told you. It's part of his infirmities. Now the key is this, though. He had a honest heart. That's the cue. So when God saw that this guy has made up his mind, this perfection thing, this spirit that measure God, in spite of all this my stumbling in the way, I want it. That's what God wants us to do. So is it there will be an increased measure of the goodness of God? So wherever you go, He said, I'm not going to leave you. Even though you fall 7 times, I'll pick you up again. A just man does what? Fall 7 times and God bring you up again. Why? Because, you see, that guy has made up his mind. I know that this problem I have, I don't like it. And God also knows that this problem that you have, it is because of the sin nature inside you. So he's extremely patient and long-suffering. Now let's go at the end. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Amplified. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does he say? He says, this is Jacob talking. He says, I am not what? Worthy of the least of what? The mercy and what? Loving kindness and all the faithfulness. Talking about God's goodness, which you have shown to your servant. For with only what? My staff. I passed over this Jordan long ago. And now I've become two companies. Let's give Lord a clap offering. See, we must never give up in any situation. Paul said that the things I want to do, I cannot do them. It's the things I don't want to do that I find myself doing. He said, I find a law warring my members, bring me to captivity to love, sin, and death. But did Paul make it? Paul said something. He said that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That means he had them before. You can't renounce what you don't have. He said, we no longer had the word of God craftily. That means there was a time in Paul's life he was handing the word craftily. If you had seen him handing the word of God craftily, you would have judged him. Call fire down. That the disciples said, let us call fire down. Say, you don't know what manner of spirit you have. How can you call fire down an entire Samaria? What are you trying to see? Everybody that is bad? How are you going to direct the fire? If you call the fire, how are you going to control the fire? Okay, you go here. If you don't go, how do you know what to shut up? So we must learn to be kind. You know, learn to see people to go as gossip. That's why Bible pastors say, if any man sees brother sin any sin other day, judge him. Is that what he said? That's for life. Both sinner, the first thing you do, please give them life. Just give them life. Praise the Lord. So there's hope for you and I. Let's look at Paul. Paul the apostle. Let us see Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. Pastor, erect havoc. Erect havoc. You don't understand. We are here today. We are having a service. Somebody matches in with Roman soldiers, or not necessarily Roman soldiers, mobile policemen. God forbid, and they carry me, carry the leadership, carry everybody. Can you pray for that person? That was the situation in that time that Paul was taking them through, and supposed to be an Israelite. So he said, Yoruba, man, our bros, I'm not by Yoruba, arrest him, arrest him, arrest him, and they take them away. Nobody's going to pray. We are reading now, we're saying, God is merciful. But that is what God expects us to do. When those things happen, ask for life. I don't care what the person is doing. You all just ask for life. Especially if it's a brother. Ask for life. So that God's goodness can be extended to you. That life you ask for is an extension of God's mercy. We show him goodness. I follow him. He's not going to die next. He's going to wake up. When he wakes up again, one day he's going to come. I have to stop. Are we there? He says that, but Saul consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 3, what does verse 3 say? Just to try and paint a picture of the kind of person Saul is, and they can bring it to a contemporary time. As for Saul, he made havoc of what? Church. Entering into every house, not only the church, healing men and women, committing them to prison. That's the life of a great apostle. But one day, on the way to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one day. That goodness met him face to face. Through the prayer of probably those who were praying for him at that time, and then also Stephen. I was thinking, I just think about Stephen. Pastor has been preaching so much about the book of Acts. And I said, but why did Stephen enjoy God's goodness? How come? You get what I'm saying? If he says goodness, why come? Is this severity? This matter I was preaching. And this thought came to me. I won't say it. I'm just about, Kenny Tegin. That time that Kenny said that, he said he put his teaching ministry above his prophetic ministry. And God said, you'll have died at the age of 50 something. Could that be what happened to this man? I don't know. He was a deacon. I follow him. It was a deacon. I can't categorize it, but let's just think about it that way. It was a deacon. But look at what happened in Acts chapter 6. He said he left the people. Acts chapter 8. So, because if you look at those stories, about his goodness, why is Paul supposed to experience severity now? And Stephen, goodness. Acts 6, chapter 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read together. And Stephen, after they made them deacons. But let every man abide in his calling. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Like in church here today. Just Christ told the disciples, he said, go only to the lordship of the house of Israel. Next verse, because of time. And there arose out of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Definitely, this was not among them. Don't you get what I'm trying to say? If I'm preaching now, pastor is here. Are you getting me? He said he did miracles, signs, and wonders. Is it possible for those that want to argue to come into the church and pastor will not go and meet them? Don't you guarantee? That means something happened. You will see he left. They drew him out. Next verse. And they were not able to receive the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Next verse, please. And they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Next verse. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Brethren, don't let the devil take you out of where God has planted you. They took him from where he was doing signs and wonders. If you notice, when he got to those people, he didn't do any miracle, even though he preached a very fantastic message. But among the brethren, under covering, he was able to minister miracles, but somehow the devil enticed him and brought him out. And we all know the story. Probably, I don't know. I'm not God, so I'm not judging. What we are saying is this, like God told Kenneth Hagin. He said, if you have continued this way, putting your teaching ministry above the deacon's office, you will have died. But you see, I'm just trying to explain some things to us. It's still God's goodness, because why? Stephen made it to heaven. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, Paul, we're talking about Paul. Now, look at what happened to Paul. Let's open 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He said it with his own mouth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy says, howbeit, for this cause, I did what obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should after all believe on him to everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Let's thank God for his mercies. He said, for in me first, this is God's goodness, that it show a pattern. If God can save somebody that is putting people in prison, killing them, consent to the death of Stephen, then there is hope for you and I. Praise the Lord. That's what he said. And like I said, the ultimate purpose of that goodness is so that we can fulfill our destiny. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read from verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Look at this same man. Oh. When you read the Bible and read Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7, it's not one day, it was a period of time of which the church will be complaining, God, do something, God, kill this man, God, kill this man, everybody release, pray, groan, travail, let him die, God. Not understanding the purpose of God. Are you following? What did he say? This same Paul, see, what would have happened if this guy didn't get born again? These things he did were already written concerning him. He said, I have fought, let's go, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Next verse. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but unto all them that love his apparel. Let me say, unto all them that take advantage of his goodness. Are you following me? So that is God's design. That is God's pattern. That is God wants, what wants us to do. So in closing, how do we enjoy God's goodness? Remember, the reason why God is being good to us, I said it earlier on, especially so we can become like Jesus Christ and then be good to other people. So we can start looking around ourselves. Who are those that God has planted around you? It doesn't matter whether they are wicked. I mentioned the example of Vice President Justin Passing, Esther. We can also look at the example of Jesus Christ on the cross. Why did they crucify two thieves hiding? They could have killed Jesus Christ that day now and killed those other two guys. No, God's goodness put them, Jesus Christ, in the middle, giving an opportunity to make it. I say, remember me. That's God. So, who are those that God has put around you? Where you are walking, people you see every day. Those guys were thieves. So, it could be somebody drinking beer every day. They're all around you. Instead of you despising them and condemning them and saying that you will never make it, why don't you just forgive them and ask for life? Take them to prayer. Start praying for them. Start showing them goodness. When they do something, but show goodness. There was a time recently, there's somebody I, you know, used to drink a lot, and I would be very angry, mad. What's wrong with this man? He's very, that was my attitude, even though you won't see. Then one day I came out of my house and I was going to work, and God spoke to me. If I was, I just started crying. So what is wrong with you? He said, if I can save you. He didn't say it this way, but when he said it, I understood. You that in the days before you got born again, 9 bottles of good that you knock it at a sitting. So why can't I save that person? No, he didn't say it, but I understood. He just played my life back to me in a flash. All the crazy stuff we did when we were in school. We won't talk about it. Another message for today. Everyone want to hear a story. No. He said, you that used to drink. And drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Take all your money, gamble, spend everything. The only thing I did not do when I was in Ife was I did not join a cult. That was all. But every other thing you can imagine, Pastor Abraham did it. Let me just summarize it like that. You know, God will say, yes, chapter 1, and then verse 2, say the earth was without form and void. Before God now started brooding over me, I said, let there be light. But by the grace of God, I give God glory. Here I am today. By the grace of God. Look, that's what God did for Paul. If you look at your life, anybody, you see, you will find out that you can't, there will be something. Say, So God corrected me. So why are you always thinking like this about this person? Why don't you just pray for him? Why don't you just ask for life? If I can do this for you, I'm not a partial God. I can do it for this guy too. Be patient. Show long suffering. Show kindness. When it comes to ask for money for you, even though you know it's going to be easy, give him. Judge nothing before it's time. That's what we see in Paul. Don't judge anybody before the time. Even after the person dies, still do not judge. Never get to the mercy of Christ before you know that this is what happened. This is what happened. Don't say, no, this one is finished. Praise the Lord. So how do we enjoy his goodness? One, I mentioned, and we stay under covering. Let's say it together. One, we stay under covering. A divine yard that God has planted us. That is very skill. As I'm telling you, I'm telling Pastor Abraham, it is skill. From Pastor God's preaching, he said there was one fig tree that was beside the road. I will bring forth fruits and leaves. There was one that was planted in the vineyard. The one that was just growing like no man's business. Bringing leaves. There was no dresser. There was no oversight. There was nobody. So when it was time for him to be cursed, there was no dresser. Say, hey, Joel, hold on. That's the difference, oh. That is the difference, oh. Covering you. So understand it. Don't despise it. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Don't despise it. I say, mark them that labor in the world and count them worthy of what? Double honor. Esteem them very highly. Why? For their work's sake. They're the ones that are dunking you. You know why? When you have a little child, the child will have some infirmities which you can see in yourself, but maybe you have overcome. You get angry. You've overcome it. That's how you see it. The child doesn't see it. So the father now begins to pray. Is this in nature? But the child does not understand. As far as he's concerned, he's just been himself. But that person begins to pray. He begins to dunk it. He begins to, you come home. Daddy, I fought today. Don't fight again. He begins to dunk it. Because daddy, I did. No. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to paint it very simple. So stay, summarize that, stay in the vineyard. So when the husbandman comes, he's coming. He has come already. And he says, it is enough is enough. Let us cut it down. They say, no, like Moses. No, don't let us cut it down. And he begins to pray. Next to don't give with the word and don't give water. Then the next thing we need to do, we need to continue in God's goodness. Let's say it together. We need to continue in God's goodness. by continuing in the word until we become disciples indeed. John chapter 8 verse 31, as we begin to round up. We're going to stop soon. Lord, please help me. Are we there? What does he say? John chapter 8 verse 31. Let's all together. Then said Jesus to those, the Jews who believed on him, if you do what? Continue. Link that word continue in my goodness to this one. How you continue God's goodness? By continuing in the word you have been taught, I've been revealed unto you. In my word. Then are you my disciples indeed? We need to continue that goodness. Are you following me? Then the next thing is that under that aspect, we need to be quick to judge ourselves. Be quick. Like I'm talking to you, begin to judge yourself. I didn't say condemn. What I did is bad. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please help me. How to get? Begin to judge. Don't take it for granted. Don't say I did this and nobody saw it and nothing happened. No. Don't be deceived. It's a deception of Satan. The Bible says that because sentence against an evil work is not spirit exalted, the heart of men is fully set. But it doesn't want it to be set. All you have to do is very simple. Once you just see yourself, Lord, I'm sorry. Please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. You examine and you judge. Are you following me? Then frequently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to get rid of his sin nature, which is the root of our problem. That's why God is showing you goodness. You say, look, if Adam didn't fall, we won't have this problem. You're not blaming Adam. But okay, don't worry. I understand there's a problem inside you guys. So don't worry. Let me show you more goodness. So that goodness has come to us in front of the blood, the word, and the spirit. So we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to purge ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think this is where I have to stop today. God's goodness and his severity. As bow our heads talk to the Lord, let's think about his goodness. Think about his goodness. There's nobody here today that God has not been good to. Even when it seems as if he has chastened us, it is not for our destruction. When he does those things, it's so that we can repent and then bring us back. That's the whole essence. He's not willing that any should perish. His desire is for everyone to come into the fullness of Christ. That's why he's patient. If you don't get it here, God forbid, and get to heaven, it's going to be when you see others, one star, you know, different from another star in glory, and you're not shining. No matter how much you cry, it can't be changed. That's why it's long suffering. That's why he's patient. So as he's patient with you and I, he wants us to be patient with our fellow brethren and also patient with the world also. Yes, the Bible says that God comforts us with the same comfort that may comfort others. That's what Paul said. He was not talking from his head. He was talking revelation knowledge. That God has helped me. God has comforted me. I can comfort you. When I see people nowadays by the grace of God, I see them drinking and smoking. I can understand. I say, God, please help them. Then you now begin, you are moved with compassion. Instead of criticizing them, then something comes out of you. Instead of being judgmental, life comes out. That life that you give to them now shows them God's goodness. Maybe they are coming back from that party that night. Instead of them to have an accident, maybe they have an accident because we've asked for life. That life brings about deliverance. They may not know it too, but at least we have done our part. Praise the Lord. Let's take a few minutes to talk to the Lord as we begin to, before we pray. Think about his goodness. Think about his goodness. Think about his goodness. That brought us through. What eye has the heavens above? So great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. 1 second, I found that scripture I was looking for. It's Hosea chapter 3. I'll read it from verse 4. It says, for the children, because it has prophetic significance to the church of Lord Jesus Christ today. It says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Verse 5. Afterward shall the children of Israel do what? Return. Afterward they shall return and do what? Seek the Lord their good and David their king. That means he will give them a king. Can you get a link? and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. That's where we are now. God is raising up kings after the pattern of David. We have left that state in which there was no king in Israel and everybody did after what they liked. He's going to raise up a king after the pattern of David, which is already done. We'll be taught, I won't go by it, just to mention it. And he said it's going to happen where in the last days, the children of Israel have gone into a hurry. That was said that God is going to save many. People are going to wake up in those churches you and I have been condemning. They're going to wake up to themselves and like the prodigal son, what have I been doing? And they will stop and they will come into the fold. He said, I will do this when in the latter days. Why? Because of his goodness. When he sets up his kings on Zion's holy hill. Let's stand to our feet.
How can I forget your mercies?
Let's all think about God's goodness.
How could I forget his love?
He said
you satisfy.
Please, can I put a song on the board so we can sing in faith?
You satisfy.
Let's sing it one more time from the beginning. Praise the Lord.
Think about his goodness.
Let's think about God's goodness in our lives.
Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that got us through. Of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Let's put, let's not forget. As we sing, let's put our hands on our hearts and let's raise the other hand to heaven as we pray. That is why the Bible says that when thou art judged, that thou mayest be justified. No human being that has been born or will yet be born will stand before God and say that God, you have not been good to me. Or another will say that God, this perfection thing, you not give me an opportunity. I don't care how bad that person is. Because God will allow himself to be judged. I say, okay. Then he'll now show you like a panorama. Can you forget? Did you forget when you did this? You forget when you try to do this, but you are supposed to travel, that plane crashed that day, you are supposed to be there. And his goodness is to all. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of your goodness and your severity. I thank you for your goodness in my life. That is bringing me via repentance unto salvation in this time of the harvest. I determine from today to take advantage of your goodness by staying in this vineyard that you have planted me under covering, and also to continue in that goodness by continuing in the word, judging myself, not condemning myself, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God, until I become a disciple indeed, bringing forth fruit unto perfection in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, please give life to our spirits now, and that's in a measure that is more than enough to help us to praise and and to worship God as we give up our give honor God with our offerings in Jesus' name.
Great is the measure of the Think about His goodness.
Think about His
grace. Think about His grace.
That God has
been
for as long as the heavens above. So great is the measure of our
Yeah.
bread.
Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song.
Celebrate,
I will celebrate.
Come on, let's celebrate his goodness.
Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song.
I will